The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my ever birthday celebrating brother, Jeff.
Ah, yes.
This we actually have a really good show for you. It's the Wildcat Show, is what it'll be called on the old website. But it should also be called It's Jeff's Birthday Show.
Yes, Jeff is another year older show. Good Lord.
Not much wiser, but another year older.
Oh, no, maybe not that. Well, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Well, welcome to the old show, and we are, as usual, we have a just a packed show for everybody. We have lots of guests up front, and then we're going to be talking Wildcats today.
Oh, yeah, Wildcats, baby. Go Wildcats! Well, so get it started, Fredley. Well, oh, but first we got to say thanks to all the people that make our show possible. We got to say thanks to all of our sponsors. Please support them, because I'll tell you what, Fred and I do. We use these guys. They're fantastic. If you need the services that our sponsors provide, don't hesitate to give them a call.
Yeah, don't hesitate at all, because we've used every single one of them.
That's
And they provide.
We or someone in our family.
Or someone in your family.
Yeah, so,
and they start off awesome.
Yeah, and they start off with Casa de la Luz Hospice, Barker Morrissey Contracting, H&S Estate Gardening, The Monkey Burger, which is very tasty.
Oh, yeah. We eat there almost every Tuesday now.
We do, but you know what? Today, we didn't eat there, and I kind of missed it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you were outvoted.
I was,
even though it was your birthday, your staff said, well, we don't want to...
They didn't want to go that far.
Yeah, they like wanted that. To go right by the office.
Exactly. Jeez.
And it's not that far. It's right in the middle of the city.
I know. It's terrible. So anyhow, our friends at the Monkey Burger... your friends at Ronstadt Insurance, if you need some help on a health insurance policy or life insurance policy, give us a call at 721-4848. And the Coleman Brothers at Mayfield's Florist, thank you so much.
And pay attention very closely to the show, because we'll be asking a question towards the end of the show. And the first person to call who can answer the question gets a dozen lovely red roses the brothers. The Coleman Brothers over at Mayfield Forest.
That's right. So stick around. We got a big show for you. You don't want to take a break right now?
We need to jump right into it.
All right, let's go.
Because we got lots of stuff going on. And let's talk about one of my favorite foods, even though they don't serve a monkey burger. Maybe we should talk to Roy about it.
Mac and cheese?
No. Wild hot wings.
Oh yeah,
hot wings.
Some hot wings.
And we had the Arizona Youth Partnership on a while back, talking about the Taste of Arizona, and now we're gonna have some Taste of Fire over at the Keno Sports Complex on Friday. So let's hear a little bit about the.
Well, who's our guest here, Fred? As he chokes on his, I don't know what he's doing over there. Dan, go ahead.
Daniel Stelzer's glad to join you from Arizona Youth Partnership, and thanks for the opportunity to come back.
Sorry about that, Dan.
No problem.
I just got something in my throat. Woo, live radio. Yum. I was salivating over the thought of all these tasty wings.
Whatever, Fred.
So all right, Dan.
You're going to have to come out tomorrow night and check it out.
Tomorrow night?
No, Friday.
Friday night.
There you go. Friday night.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
June 24th. What do you guys got cooking?
We've partnered up with the Tucson Padres, and Safe Light Auto Glass is sponsoring this event, but we're doing a fundraiser called the Wild West Wing Fest, and a $20 ticket, which you can buy at azyp.org, will get you into the game. Plus, we have five different restaurants that are bringing their wings, and we're gonna have a tasting contest to see who's got the best wing in the West.
Hottest
at least
wing
in Tucson.
Most exotic wing, and best in show.
You got it.
Sweet. So that, where can I buy these tickets?
You can get them at azyp.org. That's our website. You can there's a poster up on the front page, and you can click on upcoming events and get your ticket right there.
All right. What about at the gate?
Well, we're selling them inside the event, but then folks will have to actually pay to get into the game, plus
and then pay for
this.
The ticket.
So definitely get it in advance.
Get them before you get
giving
there.
Giving you a ganga deal in advance.
Absolutely. And the Padres are playing the Sacramento River Cats.
You got it.
All right. That'll be a good game. And all the proceeds go to?
We're using this as a fundraiser for our Wake Up program, which is a juvenile diversion program for 12 to 22-year-old youth.
Oh, Fred.
We get referrals
Fred
from...
Fred could have... He's just missed the cutoff on that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, what birthday was it for you?
47.
Okay. But we offer a drug and alcohol education prevention program. It's mostly first-time offenders, youth who have first-time offenses for drugs and alcohol, mainly referred by probation officers.
Right.
And... it's a great program. We take them through a drug and alcohol education program that also includes a trip down to the UMC Level 1 Trauma Center on a Friday or Saturday night to see what it looks like to see some of the effects of drug and alcohol.
The ugliness of it.
It really changes their perspective, and they learn a lot about the effects and what it can do to them, their life, and the people around them.
All right.
And the great thing about the program is only about 11% of those youth actually reoffend. So we got a great success rate.
That's a fabulous
89%
success rate.
Of them don't reoffend according to the statistics we got in the most recent year. So
all right. Well, you guys are a favorite of the Fred Jeff Show.
Well, we appreciate that. Yeah, we hope you'll join us. Well,
yeah, we appreciate everything you guys do. And we got some tickets to give away, right, Fred?
Yeah, let's do caller number 3 and caller number 5 at 529-3508, 529-3508. Caller number 3 and caller number 5, you get 2 tickets each to the Wild West Wing Fest at Keno Sports Complex this Friday. You get to watch some great baseball, try some great wings, and have a great and support a great organization. And Dan, thank you so much for being here.
Can I give a shout out to our wing restaurants that are coming?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got Wings Over Broadway, we got East Coast Subs, we got The Loop Taste of Chicago. We got Fox and Hound and BZ's Pizza. So come out and support them. See who's got the best wings.
You know, I've had wings from all those guys except for BZ's Pizza. Okay. Where's BZ's Pizza? Do you know off the top of your head?
That's a new one for me. We just got them online. But
all right.
Come out and check them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have a favorite in that group, but I'm not going to say.
I have 3 favorites in that group.
You know, I'm originally from Buffalo, so I got some – I think of myself as a wing connoisseur.
Okay,
so this is right up my
alley.
Here's
a question for you. Guy from Buffalo – blue cheese or ranch?
Blue cheese.
No All question. Right, yes.
No question.
All right, Dan.
All right. Thanks, thank
Dan.
You.
Thanks a bunch. All right, folks. And now we've got a second quick guest. And you guys have heard from him before, Carlos Lozano from Vanishing Tucson. Carlos, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And happy birthday. I'm also a Gemini.
All right. All right.
Well, he's actually a Cancer. Today's
really?
The cutoff.
Uh-oh.
But I'm a Gemini. My birthday
what
was on Saturday.
All right.
Let's be honest.
Oh, Fred, Jeff can't have a little spotlight. Fred's always got to horn himself in.
I already gave you your spotlight. It's my turn now.
All right. So, Carlos, what do you got cooking?
Well, today I'm wearing the hat. I'm here on behalf of the Tucson Pima Historical Commission. We and the City of Tucson Preservation Office have made an amendment to the sign code, a historic landmark sign amendment, which is going to make it easier for sign owners to restore their classic neon signs from the 50s, 60s, and all the great signs that we see around town, the neon signs like the Caruso sign or the Diving Girl sign downtown, all these signs that the tourists just love to look at when they come to visit Tucson.
There are so many signs in this community that have historic implication. I mean, you go down Miracle Mile, there's a bunch of signs in Miracle Mile in the downtown. And these signs, they're fabulous. They're a piece of our, you know, culture.
Of our history.
You know, Americana, very Tucson-esque. And, you know, the greatest thing about this is that the city is finally recognizing the importance of these signs and taking a huge step forward to preserve them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Fred, that sounds awfully political to me. And you know, part of our goal on the show is not be political.
Let's praise the council when they should be praised.
Okay.
I mean, this is a good thing. And when Carlos was here before, we talked a lot about how we're losing bit by bit a lot of stuff in Tucson that makes it so special. And you know, if you're driving down Oracle towards Drachman, they just installed a big old neon sign.
Yeah, that's a great... And Carlos, you guys had something to do with that, didn't you?
That was Dirk Arnold. And that is actually technically not a sign. It's more of a piece of art.
It's a piece of public art.
Yeah.
But the issue is that people love that stuff. And they want to see these things restored. They want to celebrate those little bits of history that you remember old bits of Tucson, and this is a great thing. So, you know, we applaud the historic the commission for putting this on the table, and you know, the vote's tomorrow. Actually, it's today, right?
Or next Tuesday.
The vote's next Tuesday. So, you know, encourage the council members to preserve Tucson. I think, you know, this show's about Tucson. These are little bits of Tucson. Let's preserve it.
All right. Carlos, you got anything to add to that?
Boy, that's
really what you wanted, wasn't it?
Exactly. I appreciate it. And next time you look around, just keep an eye out for these signs. That we tend to take them for granted, but they're out there and they're just wonderful. And it's almost too late because we've lost so many. So we're just getting this done in the nick of time, really.
All right. Well, before we let you sneak out, I am sure that a lot of our listeners would like to know what Vanishing Tucson is.
Well, that's my website. You call it a blog. It's really like a message board, and it's a place where Tucsonans can, who've been around here for long enough to know better, can come and just reminisce and ask questions like what was there, or where did that sign come from, or what was that?
That building or that business or...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool. Mike Furrier over from Jack Furrier's Western Tire Centers was the guy that told me about your website or your message board, your Yahoo message board. And it's open to anyone, right? I mean, you have to register to get on it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's got tons of pictures. It's got stories. It's what makes me laugh so much is you'll have someone tell a story about a certain place, and then right behind it, someone will say, no, you got that wrong. This is where it was. And I remember my aunt and uncle took me there one time and blah, blah, blah. It's phenomenal.
Exactly, yeah. We just got some new pictures of Kittyland from 1963 that I'm going to put up. Probably next week, yeah. But it's for everyone. It's for every. Yeah, it's wide open.
And where does all this stuff? Where's all the content come from?
Just from the members, really, and from things I dig up, mostly open sourced stuff.
All right, that's mm-hmm. great. That's great.
Now we have one last thing before the big break. Now this is something I am really excited about because the Fred and Jeff Show is sponsoring a fabulous event this coming Saturday at Valley of the Moon.
Unless it rains.
It's not going to rain.
It's
poured. That was awful.
It was terrible.
But they rescheduled, and Teresa Hewitt from the Vampire Bunny Slayers is online to tell us what's going to happen at Valley of the Moon this Saturday. Hey, Teresa, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys today?
Awesome.
Fabulous.
Awesome, awesome. We are so looking forward to this event on Saturday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, we're so looking forward to having you guys. We will be performing the shadow cast of the Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog at the Valley of the Moon at 8 p.m.
All right.
Now tell us a little bit about Dr. Horrible and what's going to happen that night.
Well,
Wait, Lisa, can I interject something?
Absolutely.
Excuse me, Teresa. I don't know anything about Dr. Horrible, but can I see if I could tell you what I think it's about?
Okay.
Okay. So there's this young man who used to be on the city council. He doesn't get reelected, and then he goes back to dental school, and the next thing you know, he's working in an office where a big plant is eating people. Is that close?
No. I definitely hear a story from somewhere else in there, but that's not quite what Dr. Horrible's about.
Darn it. All right, tell us what Dr. Horrible's is about.
Well, Dr. Horrible's kind of a story, a hero and villain story, where the person who's the hero isn't necessarily one, and the one who's the villain isn't necessarily a bad guy.
So you gave it away.
No, not at all, because you don't know what happens at the end.
All right. All right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It was a piece written by Josh Wheaton during the writer's strike several years ago.
It was.
And it stars Neil Patrick Harris.
Mm-hmm.
As Dr. Horrible, and it is a just phenomenal. It's a fun piece of work, and I know the Shadowcast has a blast doing it, and they're really good.
Oh, we have a great time, and we may have a little extra treat for you guys, too, this time.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. All right, well, now what time does it start on Saturday?
8 p.m.
8 p.m., and it goes till when?
The show probably lasts about an hour and 15 minutes with our little added bonus.
All right, and how much does it cost to attend?
I believe it is a $5 donation, and all the proceeds go right back into the Valley of the Moon.
That's fabulous. It's
a great community place just for young people to become more experienced with the theater and the way it used to really be, and kind of understand how it used to be.
That's great.
Theater besides movies and that sort of thing. So it's
and it builds self-esteem in those little people, too.
I hope so.
Yeah, anytime you get them in front of other people saying lines, that's got to build self-esteem in them. So we're all for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And also to show them, you know, other people, maybe not their age, a little bit older, who like to go up and do that sort of thing and see that it's not just a dream. It's something that they can have, too.
All right. That's great. Now, where's the Valley of the Moon?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well, you've been there, right?
Yeah.
let me help you a little bit. Valley of the Moon is a little bit north of Prince.
Exactly.
It's off of Tucson Boulevard. It's actually on...
It's between Tucson Boulevard and Country Club.
It's between Tucson Boulevard and Country Club, a little bit north of Prince. It's on Allen.
Right.
Yeah. And they do have signs.
There's signs there.
Good. All right.
Well, Teresa, we're looking forward to it, and it's going to be a fun event, and we're encouraging all of our listeners to go out and with their $5 and have a great
evening. Yeah, bring their kids, right? It's a kid-friendly show.
Absolutely, kid-friendly.
All right. Lots of stuff going on in Tucson this weekend.
Any more information, you can always go to the Valley of the Moon on Facebook or to our site, which is Vampire Bunny Slayers on Facebook.
Vampire Bunny Slayers on Facebook or Valley of the Moon on Facebook.
Yes, sir.
All Perfect. Right, Teresa, thank you so much.
Sweet. Now,
thank
when we come,
you so much.
Thanks, Teresa. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking Wildcats.
All right, so stick around.
Sunny summer day and I'm playing in the sandbox, you know what I'm saying. Cobra Commander's attacking the town. Where's my hero? He's nowhere around.
Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for house of light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A house of light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
And welcome back, Tucson. This is Fred and Jeff Show.
How do you like that new bumper music, Fred?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff. If the bumper music going out into the first commercial break was Mr. Mocos.
Yeah, that's our buddy Jimmy Gyro, who has got the Mr. Mocos band. They are fantastic, great kids band, locally grown, locally everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then that one coming in was Calexico.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw, baby. They're good times. So,
yeah, so we're we're expanding our local music menu.
Yeah, matter of fact, I ran into David Slutz today at the Club Congress, and he said, yeah, I talk to your brother all the time. He didn't tell me anything about getting music for you.
He's full of mocos.
Mr. Slutz, if you're out there listening, give Fred a call.
Well, you know, I was over at Hotel Congress for a couple of events, and that's when I talked to him, and he may have had a couple cocktails.
You were probably imbibed with tequila as well.
I was absolutely.
All right, so folks, welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. We've got about five minutes before the bottom of the hour news break, and we wanted to introduce our guest, Lisa Hayes. You are the coordinator for the Urban Bobcat Study.
Yes, I'm the coordinator not only for that, but for the whole University of Arizona Wildcat Research and Conservation Center.
All right.
So, yeah, bobcat's one piece of it, but we do stuff all around the world.
Well, in the little time we have left before we have to go to the news, tell us about that. Tell us about what you're doing down there. Can you put it in a little thimble for us to start?
Okay. how little is a thimble?
You got 4.5 minutes.
Well, okay, we have plenty of time.
Yeah.
Just talk. All right. What our mission is to conserve and research the world's 36 species of wild cats. And most people don't know there's 36 species.
Are there 36 in Arizona?
No, total in the world.
Wow.
In the world.
Okay.
Yeah. So in Arizona, we have bobcat, mountain lion, and of course, once in a very rare while, jaguar. And now we have recent sightings of ocelot. But there are 36 species worldwide, many of which most people never heard of, like fishing cat and Andean mountain cat and the black-footed cat and the caracal and the Chinese desert cat. And I can just keep going.
Oh, well, you can go 36 of those, right?
Yeah.
Now, all this makes sense to me, I got to just fill in a little bit here. We found you through a good friend of mine. Her name is Marla Endicott. She owns Precision Tool and Fastener. She and her sister Mary are the tool ladies. So I'm sure there are tons of folks out there that have bought equipment from them. But I'm in her office one day, and we're chatting about this, and she's like, oh, my goodness, do you know about this program? And she showed me your website, and bam, here you are. And it's amazing what you're doing.
Wow, that's awesome. She came to one of my presentations. We had this lovely photo exhibit of the world's wild cats, and most of the photos were actually taken by one of our local photographers, Fred Hood, who was also a docent at the Reed Park Zoo. And so then we combined that with the presentation, and she came, and it was just really exciting for her to come. So yeah, that's what we do. So we do a combination of local research and real management-oriented things that we're working on our local cats, which are primarily bobcats and mountain lions. But then we also tie that into the world's cats and some of the threats that are facing them. And I can kind of, give you more of an overview. We kind of have a whole structure to it, but sure. That's a good synopsis.
Is there a formal definition of what a wildcat is?
A formal name, you mean, Fred?
No, like how do you define a wildcat?
Well, first of all, there's the University of Arizona. Okay, what?
With the wildcats.
Wildcats. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, so that little moniker is actually probably a bobcat. You know you recognize the little Wilmer
the ears,
and
right,
Wilbur.
The ears are pointy.
They're bobcats, and so if you actually look at the little the face, the logo is a bobcat, and in fact, wildcat, all one word, is a name for bobcat. It's usually used a lot more on the East Coast and maybe in the South. Here and in the West, they're called bobcats, and that's really probably, but that's the issue with common names. But wildcat, two words, is, essentially the species of these 36 species of wild felids, and felids are wildcat species.
All right, well, folks, we got to go to the news. Stick around after the news. Well, we'll continue our interview with Lisa Hayes from the University of Arizona. See you in a couple.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. A congressional source tells CNN President Obama plans to withdraw 10,000 troops from Afghanistan this year and another 20,000 next year. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says there are a lot of factors involved, including support for the mission.
Both among the public and in the Congress. And it goes without saying that there are a lot of reservations in the Congress.
The Senate confirmed CIA Director Leon Panetta Tuesday to succeed Gates as Defense Secretary. The Food and Drug Administration has unveiled new graphic cigarette warning labels. Cigarette packs will have vivid color images on them, along with a written warning about the dangers of smoking. Greek President George Papandreou's government survived a vote of confidence early Wednesday morning. International lenders are demanding big budget cuts and other steps before they'll step in with a bailout. Stocks posted solid gains. The Dow climbed 109 points. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start. Where right now we've got new lower prices on Weather Shield pressure-treated decking. The water-repellent coating means you won't have to stain or seal it for up to a year after you install it. So you save money and man-hours. That's big savings that could help lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can build a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hey, Thomas, the coffee shop's packed this morning. This is kind of crazy.
Oh, it is crazy. But it's been packed like this every day since I started sending email newsletters to my customers.
Hey, no kidding. That's what brought me in today.
With iContact, you've got customers. Sign up now and get a free 30-day trial at iContact.com when you use promo code EMAIL. iContact, that's the letter I, contact.com, and promo code EMAIL.
For contractors looking to cut costs, the Home Depot is a great place to start. Where right now we've got new lower prices on Weather Shield pressure-treated decking. The water-repellent coating means you won't have to stain or seal it for up to a year after you install it. So you save money and man-hours. That's big savings that could help lower your bids, which will help you win more business so you can build a stronger one. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
This is Lamont Hundley from Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. When it comes to your personal exercise routine, balance should be the most important ingredient. It's easy to lose track of time during a workout. Often we end up doing more strength training, then your cardio gets shortened and there's no time to stretch. Balance is always the key to fitness success. You need an accurate portion of cardiovascular and respiratory improvement exercises, strength training, and always stretch before or after the workout. Just as a balanced diet is important in your nutrition, a balanced workout would help you achieve greater results. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff fitness tips.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, my birthday boy brother, Jeff.
Hello, Tucson.
And online with us is the ever popular, ever vivacious.
Effervescent.
Big Mike from the Tinderbox. Hey, Big Mike, how you doing?
Wow, effervescent. Hi, guys. I'm a bubbly kind of guy.
You sure are.
Hey, Jeff, happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks.
So Big Mike, what is the cigar of the week?
Today we're doing something different. We're going to expand it. Instead of doing one particular cigar, we're going to do the buy three, get one free across the entire Gurkha product line.
Wow.
And we'll let you, the customer, pick whatever Gurkhas you want, and you can mix and match mild, medium, full-bodied cigars, whatever you like.
Wow. Has buy the three, sun gotten free. To you, Mike?
What's that?
Has the sun gotten to you? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, generous kind of mood.
Wow, and, that's great.
It's your birthday, so that's why we're doing it.
Well, thanks.
Well, yeah, there is not a bad stick in the whole Gurkha line.
No, Gurkha doesn't know how to make a bad cigar. Everything they make is wonderful. They've got the mild cigar that's from the Status, that's something you would like, Jeff, all the way up to the full body G5, which is something Fred would like.
Yeah, the Avenger, the G5 Avenger. That's one of my favorites.
Wow, that's awesome.
But you also have the Beast. You have,
we got the Beast, the Fury, the Crown, the Titan. We got all kinds of the Shaggies. We got all the entire Gurkha line, the Viper. And, the customers can mix and match. You know, they don't have to have all mild, medium, all of one, body type or flavor profile. They can mix and match.
Awesome. So they buy three, get one free. And where do they go to get this deal?
They can find us at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. Or you could call us at 747-4807.
Awesome, Michael. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway in Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Visit The Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back to The Fred and Jeff Show. That's some swinging Tuesday.
That's Lalo Guerrero.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You know, he used to tell this great story about our Uncle Gibby. And stories. And every single story started off, yeah, we were just hanging down in the barrio and Gibby shows up with $20.
And then it all went to heck in a handbasket. Yeah, that
went downhill from there. Well, we are back, and welcome to the Friend Jeff Show. Visit us on our electronic companion, which is friendjeff.com. We'll have this show posted. We're going to have a bunch of links to the program. And with us today is we just described Mike, Big Mike, as being lovely and vivacious and
well,
those things.
Our guest is Lisa Hayes, the coordinator for the U of A Katz Center School of Natural Resources and the Environment. That's what it says on the website.
Yes, but so our wild it's true. See, we are.
I pointed to it twice.
Look at it here, Jeff. Yeah, but look, right here on the website, it says Lisa Hayes, coordinator, UA Wildcat Center, School of Natural Resources and the Environment.
Right. So our Wildcat Center is in the School of Natural Resources and Environment.
How many titles do you have?
just coordinator of the Wildcat Center. That'd be me.
Yeah, the coordinator of the Wildcat Research and
Conservation Center.
All right, so now before we took our break for the news, you were telling us about what you guys do.
Right.
Did you leave anything out?
Well, what I'd like to do is kind of give an overview. So I did sort of a lot of the big picture, but just imagine in your mind a triangle, okay? So at the base of the triangle, we have at one corner, we have this local research that we're doing on mountain lions and bobcats, primarily like right here in the Tucson area, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. And then at the other corner of the base of the triangle is outreach and education with the public. So we're trying to coordinate a lot of the research that we do with citizen science and with education and with a lot of schools and that kind of thing. But all of this is pointing towards the tip of the triangle, which is, as I mentioned before, conservation of the world's wild cats.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, and it actually takes biologists and students from around the world to actually facilitate that. And they need, it's ideal if they're from their home countries, not necessarily Americans or Westerners going there. We act as a support network, but those, we have students coming here that are actually from Thailand, from India, and then they come here to learn about wild cats, and we can use our local projects as kind of a training platform or a template that they can learn from and then take back to their home countries. So that's kind of the whole triangle part of the, if you can visualize that.
No, that's great. Now, what are you trying to educate just the common Joe, Fred and I and our listeners? What is it you want us to know about your projects? Not to feed the cats peanut butter or, I mean...
That would be good. Let's not do that.
Okay, what are you guys trying to get across?
Okay, well, several things. One is, of course, the one cat that most people are familiar with here in the Tucson area is the bobcat.
Right.
And especially in the foothills areas and the outlying areas, Oral Valley, that area. Bobcats are pretty ubiquitous close to people's homes. So they're living in the backyard. They're drinking out of the pool. They're laying on the lounge chair.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they're hanging. My dad has several pictures of bobcats sitting in his backyard.
You know, my dad does too.
Our dad.
Who calls me on that?
Yeah, we have a bobcat that hangs out in our front yard as well.
Oh, cool. Well, see, if you have pictures, you can actually, that can be a data point for us. So what we're doing is to educate people. Some people are afraid of their bobcats. Very few. Most people just love them. And they don't get in trouble as much as, say, bobcats and javelina do, because those two species, urban species, they can start to equate humans with food, with trash, with some people feed them and that kind of thing. Bobcats, on the other hand, are just taking advantage of the lovely environment that you've created with your landscaping and your water fountain and your quail and your rabbits.
Right.
But they just think that human beings are just sort of like this, you know, this sort of walking saguaro or whatever. So
they
just
don't
like,
pay as much attention.
No, they're like, you do your thing and I'll do mine. And you're welcome to come in your backyard, you know, whenever you feel like it.
But what, I mean, it's kind of amazing because you can't like walk up and pet them. But if you're in
the yard
in the yard with them, they'll look at you and, but they'll sit there and just stay calm.
Like you, whatever.
All right, now, so a silly question maybe. But are there any people out there doing silly things, getting attacked by bobcats? Do you ever hear of that? Or are these animals so smart that when they see us coming, they just...
They pretty much do their own thing. They can get pretty complacent about humans in this urban environment. Now, in wildland setting, they'll take off.
Right.
But the only really verified attacks that I know of have been of rabid bobcats. And, of course, rabies can occur in everything from skunks to foxes to bats and every dog.
Domesticated
animal.
So it's very, very rare, but it does happen in bobcats. So it's not something necessarily to worry about unless you saw some very strange behavior.
Such as?
Just coming at you. I've never actually obviously experienced this, but they can, you know, the frothing at the mouth and the being very aggressive, which bobcats normally don't do unless they're cornered or something like that. So it's really, really rare.
Okay,
and so
good. So it's really nothing we need to worry about.
No.
We see these animals wandering around enjoying the outside.
Right.
That's great.
It is. It's great.
Take a picture. Send it to your relatives back east kind of thing.
Yeah. And send it to our website because we're mapping the distribution of urban bobcats in the Tucson Basin.
Now, what does that mean?
Just to look at dots on a map and to see where our bobcats are located. You know, are they, you know, in the foothills? I mean, we're getting more and more dots on the map as this project progresses. How far do they come into the urban area? We can actually look at housing development density and that kind of thing.
Well, how do you know if it's not the same wildcat or the bobcat?
Well, they do have unique spotting patterns.
Okay.
But we don't necessarily track that. Mostly what we're doing is just people can access our website, they can upload the photo, And then that just helps us get a sense of where they are. And this was a project that was funded by the Arizona Game and Fish Department Heritage Fund, which is funded by lottery dollars. So go out and buy your lottery tickets.
You can't win if you don't play.
No, that's right. And it's good for urban wildlife. So this was funded by an urban wildlife grant program. And so, yeah, so most people love their bobcats, and they give them names, and they send us pictures, and they just love them. And that's one of these urban species that's relatively accepted among the public. So that's just one piece of
our product. As I said before, we're going to be linking the website to with Fred and Jeff.
Right, that's
great. FredJeff.com.
Yeah.
And if you go to the website, on the bottom left-hand corner is where you can submit your pictures.
Right, yeah. And that'll click you over into the pages that actually let people submit their pictures.
How many have you gotten so far?
Almost 500, but yeah. But
how long have you been doing this?
We've actually been doing it for several years. And the project's actually technically finished, but we're keeping it going. And in fact, we really need to upgrade our website a little bit. But so we're just keeping it going. And
what's the furthest into the core of the city that you have documented?
You know, actually, I've heard of some, but I'm not sure we've actually gotten photo. I did hear that a bobcat killed a swan at Reed Park Zoo.
Wow!
Which, you know, so, and there's a Royal Chico, so that may have been one that was using that as a corridor.
Well, we were talking about having you on the show this week to some of our friends. They were saying, "Oh yeah, I've got some friends that live in Sam Hughes." They're like, "Oh yeah, we got a bobcat over here, and we see him now and then."
That one would be really. I would really like to get a photo of that one.
I will give him a call. Yeah, and see, maybe he was full of himself. But,
yeah, no,
but
well, he's not likely. Yeah,
so they are.
Yeah, we get a lot of misidentified mountain lions that are actually really usually bobcats. Or
now, wait a minute.
But bobcats, people know they're bobcats.
But a mountain lion's a puma, right?
They have the same name as puma, mountain lion, cougar, and panther, Florida panther, say, for example. So they have four names, same critter.
Okay, so just for the sake of understanding, a bobcat, an average bobcat is how big?
They run from about 15 to maybe 20-some pounds here in the desert.
Okay.
And
it's a relatively small cat.
Small cat. They're spotted, and they have a short tail.
Okay. I mean,
probably about 6 inches long.
And they've got the pointy ears.
Little tufted ears. Okay. Yeah, just like Wilbur and Wilma.
Right.
Yeah.
But a mountain lion is, average size of a mountain lion is what?
It's females run about 70 pounds, 70, 90 pounds, and the males up to, you know, in the desert, again, about 120 pounds.
Wow. And people are confusing bobcats for mountain lions.
It's called nature deficit disorder. I'm sorry.
Wow.
And they have, mountain lions have a really long tail, and they have no spots other than when they're tiny, tiny kittens, and it's so rare for people to ever see them at that stage. So, but you know, people come here from places that, and it's believe it or not, don't know the difference. And we do have, very, very rarely, we do have mountain lions, you know, once, very, very, very rarely, cruising through some of the suburban kind of very foothills areas, but they are fairly well present in all of our surrounding mountain ranges. And in fact, we did a trail camera project in the Tucson Mountains where we were monitoring mountain lions because we're actually concerned about that population.
Are you tagging them, or are you're just following them around, just taking pictures of them?
What we do is we have these infrared triggered cameras where they're called trail cameras or camera traps. And that's where the animal walks in front of the camera, and it has an infrared beam, and the beam triggers the camera, and then we get pictures of all animals. So we got like 12,000 photos total of all critters, everything. And so tell me which species you think was photographed the most.
Javelina.
Human beings.
I was going to say jackalope.
Jackalope. What was number two? Javelina.
No, I think it was gray fox.
Really?
Yeah, and then I think javelina was right up there. Yeah.
Oh man, we got javelina all over the place on the east side of town.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, the mountain lions, do they come down from the mountains when it's like this, when it's real hot?
Not.
Or they
usually
stay up there. The drought doesn't have anything to do with how they move.
Is there going to be some? We're going to see an influx of wildlife from the fires.
You know that. Of course, we don't have any right locally, right close.
Right.
But
right.
They may move around, and yes, there may sometimes possibly create the situation you just described. But in several studies that have been done in areas that have been burned, generally the animals will move out, the bigger animals, and then it greens up amazingly fast. Even little sprigs of green will bring in deer and prey animals, and eventually they'll move right back into their old home range. So it displaces them temporarily, but probably not permanently, unless it's just totally scorched to mineral soil. But here in the desert, yes, we may get a few more sightings during this high, very, very hot, very dry time of year, but generally they are very socially intolerant of each other. So they have their territories or their home range, and they generally don't like to leave those. So they will generally stay in their place throughout the year. And, you can really get me started, except for a subadult, especially subadult males, as they're leaving home, they will cruise. And they will cruise from one mountain range to the other. And that's very natural. That's what they do to facilitate gene flow across the landscape. So eventually they will find an open home range or get old enough. The big males are very territorial, and they will not let subadults in. But eventually the subadults will find a vacant home range, or they'll be big enough, bad enough to beat up the old guy on the mountain, and then they'll set up their own home range.
Now give us an idea. How old would an old male be? How many years?
Well, for mountain lion, they can, adulthood is like, say, about 5 years, and they can go to about 12 years in the wild.
Oh, wow.
So they set, and a lot of this same thing applies to bears too, to black bears. So, but it's these young males that eventually travel around that keep gene flow operating throughout the system. And that's what we're very concerned about. That's why we did the Tucson Mountain study, because we feel that the Tucson Mountains may be becoming an island, literally, in the sea of city, the sea of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So we've got the CAP canal on the west side, and then we've got I-10 on the east side of the mountain, and we have homes and development and businesses
all around it.
So we wanted to kind of get a sense of what the status of the mountain lions was in the Tucson Mountains.
And what have you found out?
Out of those 12,000 photos, we had 36 photos of mountain lions. And now that's not 36 mountain lions, that's 36 photos. So, and they're very hard to tell apart. So you're like, well, is that the same one moving? And so we probably have several photos of the same lion moving across the camera. So, but we do think, we're fairly sure we have an adult female, which is not surprising, and possibly one adult male. That mountain range is too small for an adult male lion. They need, especially in this desert areas, probably at least 100, 200 square mile home ranges.
What?
Yeah, I know. People don't realize. So a male probably has to travel in and out of the mountain. He may go to the Silver Bells. He may go to, historically, he may have gone to the Tortolitas, but now the I-10's in the way.
Right.
So they basically island hop in these little desert mountain ranges. There's probably one adult female in the Tucson Mountains. And then we did get a subadult, where you get these very light spotting patterns on the, they look almost like adults. So we know we have a subadult. And we got kittens. We got kittens last December.
Oh,
Christmas.
That's great.
Merry Christmas. It
yeah,
was
that's
so cool.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So having one male and one female and some kittens in that area is a good
thing.
That's
good. So we are very
So you're
pleased.
Saying, even though you got 12 pictures and maybe it was only of 6 or 7 mountain lions, that was a great thing.
Yeah, it may have actually be 3 or 4 mountain lions.
Okay.
But that's I was so pleased. Now, the worst case scenario would be that they're trapped on that mountain and they're interbreeding with each other. Mm-hmm. That's where the gene flow is so important. And that's what's happened to the Florida panther, for example, that they became so inbred that then that starts affecting their health, and they had heart defects and things like that. And that's when a population can crash. But so we didn't document it. We actually put cameras in the potential corridors, like some of the washes that run in and out of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And we never documented lions in the corridors, but we just couldn't put camera density enough to cover everything.
Right.
So,
right.
So we're feeling excited.
Good about that.
I am. And that study was funded by Pima County, the Star Pass Wildlife Enhancement Fund, and also by the National Park Service, by Saguaro National Park.
Well, so having just a few animals, that's a healthy thing.
For the bobcat, for the mountain lions.
For the mountain lion.
It
I mean, it, because you don't want you don't want more than a couple animals in a 200 square mile.
Yeah, it depends on the habitat. Like say the Catalinas, the Rincons, that's much higher quality habitat. You may have a little bit higher density. The more deer you have, and the more
prey there is.
Exactly.
The healthier they are.
Yeah.
Now, what about the bobcats? How many bobcats do you think we've got around here?
Now, see. Lots.
50, being 500.
I couldn't even hazard a guess, really. I couldn't.
And that's good.
Yeah, it is good.
So we're all living harmoniously.
Relatively, I think so.
That's great.
That's right, yeah. And Tucsonans, I think, they do more or less live harmoniously with wildlife. There are lots of people moving here from everywhere, you know. So we need to, they become more accepting of wildlife. And there's this will be on the link, but there's a great link to the Arizona Game and Fish Department Living with Urban Wildlife website. And so they can learn all about how to deal with javelina. And
living with those javelina, oh my goodness, yeah. They are a giant pain. Oh, wow.
Yes, I know.
Wow, yeah. They're a pain.
Yeah.
It's cool having urban wildlife.
Yes.
It's totally cool.
It's what makes Tucson a great place to live.
Yeah, but they wreak havoc on on a lot of stuff.
Well, the way I look at it, though. What they wreak havoc on is stuff that wasn't there before they got here.
No question.
If they're eating dad's grapefruit tree and they're eating someone's fence, well, come on. They need a place to be, too.
I agree with you. But that's when you were in a problem. Because I remember probably about 15, 20 years ago, we had a core neighborhood was very concerned about coyotes living in the area.
Oh, yeah.
And it can
be a problem.
It was near Colonial Solana. It's wonderful because Colonial Solana actually went out and got a grant, and they had hired a U of A grad student to go in and research, do a study on the activity of the coyotes in that neighborhood. And there's another neighborhood nearby who just adamantly despised coyotes, and we had this big meeting with Game and Fish, and I remember this day where they sat down with us and they looked across to the neighbors and said,
Game and Fish did.
Game and Fish looked across the neighbors and said, well, if you don't want these animals in your neighborhood, stop feeding them.
Right.
And there's dead silence, and the neighbors became incredulous. They're like, we don't feed them. And it's like, and Game and Fish straight face, you have dogs and cats, don't you?
That's right.
So these are animals who adapt very well to the environment that they're in, and that environment provides some prey for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and our schnauzers, your cats.
Yes, Fluffy and Foofy. Yeah.
Everyone in Tucson's got a story about the cat or the dog that never came back.
Yeah, and then we have owls. I mean, that's just,
hawks.
The birds of prey that come in and pick up the little dogs. And
there they go.
So if people want, small pets in the desert, then there's some really good recommendations on building an enclosure, a roofed enclosure. It's just like a big, say a chain link, sort of a dog run sort of thing. And even in the foothills, there's some really good plans that people can get from some of these various wild websites. And we have to be responsible for taking care of their small pets, regardless.
Because they'll disappear.
That's right. They will. Either that or feed the
wildlife. Fred and I, when we were little kids, had a couple of cats. One, we had Poncho and Snickers. Poncho and Snickers. And one day they disappeared.
Yeah.
Where did they go?
Oh.
Well, they were left outside and
they were
gone. Yeah. We learned at an early age that you got to watch those little critters because they are someone's food.
Yeah, right.
So, all right. We got a dozen roses to give away from Mayfield's Florist. And the big question of the day is, how many mountain lions, male mountain lions, does it take to have a healthy population in a 200 square mile area? All right.
Is that a question for me?
No, that's a question for our listeners. So the first person to call at 529-3508 that tells us how many male mountain lions can live in a 100 to 200 square foot mountain range.
Square mile.
Yeah.
Wins. Yeah. All right?
Okay.
And the phones are already lined up, and we've already got a winner. So thank you very much. So listen, Lisa, thanks so much for coming on our show. We really do want to let our listeners know, go to our website, friendjeff.com. All of your stuff will be linked there from the research that you're doing, so folks can upload their pictures of their bobcats. Can they name them? They tell you this is Fluffy or this is Spike
or Peanuts
or whatever.
Yeah.
And then your research is online too, so folks can see that as
well. A good description of it, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Okay.
Marla from
to
Precision Tool, thanks for the lead to get
Marla.
Lisa in here.
Thank you.
And Tucson, thank you so much for listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you next week.
That's great. Me toca a mí hoy
emprender la retirada. KJLL, South Tucson.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. More than a quarter of the residents of Minot, North Dakota have been ordered.